You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
What is up, everybody? How are you doing? How are you feeling? How are you smelling? I hope you're doing great. Welcome to the Broman Podcast. This is Ask Broman episode 48. It is Thursday, March 8th, 2018, and it is a good day. We're streaming on Twitch, doing it live like we always do. You don't have to always do it, Broman. Whatever, I don't care. This is a podcast about answering your questions, whether it's about, you know, small business, charity, or, you know, making content online. These are all things that I do, and I am here for you. So today, I don't know how long the episode is going to be, because my schedule is like, wow, right now. But we're going to get right into it. I believe the first person we're going to talk to today is a return visitor. This is going to be the Colorado Kid. So we're going to have a chat with him. We're going to shoot some monsters in Monster Hunter, and it's going to be a fantastic day. To all of y'all who have been listening on Spotify lately as well, I appreciate you. Y'all have been blowing up my mentions everywhere. I appreciate you, Spotify family. You're the best. Hey, what's up, Colorado Kid? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today,
bro? I'm doing fantastic. How long has it been since we have talked?
Episode 14 back in like December.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, God, that's weird.
Yeah, oh, it's been a wild ride, man. I'll tell you what, the day I was on your podcast, like, I woke up that morning, I had a head cold, I wasn't even going to get on, and you pulled me in, and I was like, oh crap, I'm not even totally prepared for this.
It happens, man.
Yeah, but I was super stoked. I had like two followers that day, my mom and my brother. And by the end of the day, I had jumped to 122 followers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was insane. My phone was just blowing up when I was at work. I was like, holy crap. It was just nonstop vibrations in my pocket.
That's fucking like, cool, man.
Yeah, it was awesome. I super appreciate you. And yeah, since then, I've gone from 122 in the past two, 3 months to 232.
Oh, shit.
And they're like, oh, you're a really great streamer. And I'm like, I am. I don't know. I'm just doing my thing.
You've got the skills to pay the bills, man.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. And so, yeah, I just want to do a quick follow-up and a couple questions. Since then, you know, I moved from California back to Colorado because my mom was like, you know, you're doing good. And I want to see you succeed at this. So, you know, come back and that way you could focus on this content creation.
So your mom's supporting you.
Yeah, definitely.
Fuck yeah, definitely. Dude. That's incredible. That's yeah. So cool.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I was listening to Gary Vee one day and he's like, there's no shame in moving home with your parents to cut costs and focus on chasing your dreams. So I was like, all right.
I mean, that's that's something for before you get to your question, just to share a little bit from my past. Like, that's something I don't really talk about a lot. We've talked about it on the podcast once before, but like when I started streaming, my overhead, like my monthly required amount of money to stay alive was around $800. Like, I ate ramen noodles and peanut butter. I paid $50 a month for my internet. I paid like $120 for electricity, and I paid $600 a month for my rent, and that was it. You know, like, I was living the absolute bare minimum life that I could. And if anybody is out there and you're thinking about trying to make the move, if you can downsize your life before you start taking your shot, you'll be surprised how much more relaxed you are. Like, if you're living a life where you're spending like $3,000 to $4,000 a month on rent and all the other bullshit, and you take that like down to $1,000 a month or less, you suddenly have so much more money and time than you could possibly imagine. It does so much for you if you can downsize, and I highly recommend it. Okay, what can I do for you, Colorado Kid?
Yeah, so I learned how to multicast finally with OBS and Restream.
Sweet.
And I integrated chat. You're like, you got to get creative with chat with multicasting, and I figured out how to integrate all the chats together with Restream and include it in the stream, so that way people on YouTube, Mixer, and Twitch can all interact with each other with that chat in my stream, which so far has been working pretty good. I'm pretty excited about it. I've also started a podcast myself.
No shit! This guy is hustling right now, and I love it. What's your podcast called?
Right now, it's just the Colorado Kid. I don't have a particular name for
That's
it.
Fucking I've
just
fine.
Been talking about like just mental attitude, mental health, physical fitness, my knowledge and insights that I've experienced through life. I've got about 10 episodes so far, and it's been fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it, just recording my thoughts, my ideas, life experiences.
It's therapeutic, right?
It is.
Like
it
when
really
you've
is.
Been through a lot of shit and you feel like you can help people. Like, to finally put it out there, like, just somewhere recorded, like, you put it in a permanent location, it really feels good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, and I'm getting some listeners and followers on my podcast, not a whole lot at this point, but, I mean, it's just an exciting thing to be creating the content and getting positive feedback from everybody. I'm like, wow, this is cool. Because, like, kind of similar to you when I was growing up, like, having a part-time job is just annoying. I hate working for minimum wage, so I was always trying to start a business. I started a fudge business, a government contracting business last
Wow.
year. And, I mean, yeah, I've tried doing a lot of different things, but, like, I didn't enjoy them. I'm like, man, I'm just not enjoying this, and I have no motivation to actually do it. And now every day that I wake up, I'm like, yeah, man, I wake up and I'm like, let's do this. Let's clip some videos for Instagram and YouTube. Let's freaking record a podcast, go live and stream. And it's just, it's really
That's
exciting and
man.
I'm having fun at it. And so I guess to get to the questions is, okay, I have about 4 or 5 questions.
No, that's great. Like, I appreciate all the context. Context is king, man, and lets me give you good advice.
Right.
If I can help you at all. So we'll see.
Well, I'm sure you could help me on the first one, which is how to deal with insistent trolls. So, like, about a week or so ago, I had this person coming into my chat just being really negative, saying really bad things towards my chat, towards me.
Sure.
I'd block him, I'd ban him, I'd report him, and then he'd come back with a different username where
yeah.
he just changed, like, one letter, one number, and he'd just keep coming
yeah,
back.
Yeah, you know who it is, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and not only was he coming in on Twitch, but then he'd come in on YouTube and do the same thing.
Yeah, he
and
just
so
decided,
like,
that you're the person he wants to shit on.
Right. And so, I mean, how I dealt with it basically is, like, I just told him, I was like, look, man, what you're doing is harassment, and you can be criminally charged for this, especially
that's,
with, like, online bullying and
that's
whatnot.
That's fair.
So,
no,
like,
yeah, that's absolutely fair.
My advice to you would be to stop before you run into somebody who is a hacker and they find out who you are and they do something to you
yeah,
in
yep.
return.
Fair.
You know, because I'm not a hacker. I can't track IP addresses or hack into people's stuff, and I wouldn't do it even if I did know how to do it.
Well, you can just get the cops to do that, by the way.
Right.
If it's bad enough.
Yeah, and that's what I told him. I was like, I could have the police. They have really good hackers working for them now.
No, that's just law enforcement, man. That's just cybersecurity law enforcement. So, I have a story about this.
Okay.
There was a... And I, like, going into the beginning of this, I had no idea who this person was. But there was a 13-year-old kid who decided for whatever reason that he wanted me to be his victim, right? So for the 6 months leading up to my wedding, we banned this guy like 68 different times. And he would come in like every other day with a new account and he'd say the same shit. That's how you knew it was still him. You know, he talked about like raping and killing my wife, mass bombing my wedding. He talked about, killing my dogs, burning down my house, like all this other stuff, horrible shit, right?
Oh, wow. That's terrible.
Yeah. And so like this, you know, period of time that I'm supposed to be like really celebrating everything, I'm dealing with this. You know, we've had similar encounters with GuardianCon where people have called in, but like people called in bomb threats last year, and all this other stuff. And it's things that only happen because of the nature of my job and like online presence, right? So the way that I dealt with it with him is I did contact the police and we got his information and we pressed charges, and then it, you know, it turns out that this poor kid, he's like, you know, 14, he lives at home. This is like the 10th or 20th time the cops have showed up at his house. His mom
wow.
knows about it and hates it and like doesn't know how to stop it because he's just obsessive compulsive. So, like, that sort of twisted everything up for me, right? So this person who I was really angry at, because I assume, like, a lot of things, right? Like, I assume this person is an adult. I assume this person knows what they're doing and is, like, mentally culpable for what they're doing. But in his case, like, he really wasn't. Like, we actually didn't get to press charges against him as much as we wanted to, because he's not... He wasn't considered by the state to have all of his mental facilities intact or whatever. So, like, it was just something that he would do as, like, an expression of a disability that he had. He would just constantly troll people. And I understand that because I worked with people who had, you know, physical, psychological disorders that led to, like, you know, them being violent and saying really horrible shit all the time. So I think the best thing you can do, you got two things. One, you're already talking about, you know, legal action, which I think is great. Two, like, just realizing that, like, you don't know who that person is, and assuming that their life probably sucks mega bad is all right. And having that little bit of compassion, like, and realizing that, you know, this person's life might actually be legitimately terrible. It helped me deal with it emotionally while you're in the middle of the shit. That's all you can do, like, literally, which sucks. Yeah. Like, I know that you just want to know a way to make it stop. But if, you know, if somebody's decided that they are obsessed with making your life terrible, there's really nothing you can just outright do to stop them. The best thing you can do is all the stuff that you already mentioned, which is, you know, report it to police, make sure you keep everything, you know, tracked. If threats, you know, keep track of threats. If they go from, like, haha, you fucking suck, to, like, I'm going to kill you, and then they start, you know, doxing your address, like, you need to have documentation of that escalation so the police can do their job. That's kind of the best things you can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that. I mean, that definitely makes me feel better about how I handled the situation.
Yeah, I think you're doing a good job.
At one point, I did get mad, and I kind of yelled, and I was
you can yell, dude. I mean, like, listen, the guy threatened to rape my wife. I was not kind to him, you know, in the moment.
Right. I don't blame you for that one.
But going forward and going back to that, like, if I would have known that this was, like, a 13-year-old who was just acting out, like, it's not right, but I could have approached the situation differently. And I definitely wouldn't have let it affect me emotionally as much as it did. That makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So the next question is, so right now I'm streaming about 7 to 8 hours a day, and, I was thinking to myself, okay, I was spending a lot of time, like, clipping videos for, like, YouTube and Instagram to build my content and my videos there. Should I focus more on streaming and, like, stream more throughout the day and, like, less time on creating the content for the other platforms? Or should I just continue, like, maybe find a more efficient way to clip videos so that way I could stream more? And I think I kind of found a way to do that.
Yeah.
So should I be... That's basically the question. Should I stream, be live more, or kind of balance my day between
creating
the
balance
content
is good.
On other platforms?
I have been noticing since I started reaching out into, like, other communities to make content, like, I've been getting really aggressive on Instagram with, like, actually posting, like, clips from the stream, right? It's like, you know, because gaming Instagram is not as active as you would expect. It's definitely nothing like fitness Instagram or, you know, fashion Instagram, but it's still there.
Right.
So I've noticed that I get a lot stronger reactions and, like, I don't know, I guess, like, overall building of content off of things on Instagram and stuff that I put on Facebook and any really, like, high quality media content that I post on Twitter. Like, that tends to get an insane amount of traction and it's stuff that I do every day on stream, but it just doesn't get pulled out and put in front of the world. It's sort of this weird conundrum that you get when you are, it's sort of this weird situation. Like, when you're live all day, you're like, oh, everyone is seeing this. Like, that's the kind of default thought process that you fall into. But in reality, like, only the people who are there at the moment are seeing that. And so you having the ability to document and share, you know, what's happening in other locations is actually really key and is an incredible help long term.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, as well as the long-term aspects of building content on the other platforms. So that way, when people do find me, they have content to consume.
Exactly.
Okay, so the other question I have is, so I listened to episode 47. Well, I listened to all your episodes.
Okay, yeah, listen to everything. 40, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. And episode 47, you mentioned to somebody, you know, like a lot of people who have been multi-streaming, they haven't been given a lot of good feedback or traction. And when they go all in on one platform, they get a better, lot more, which is a big topic right now as far as where new streamers should be streaming. And so I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, so I've only been multicasting for about 2 weeks now. And I've got maybe like 16 followers on Mixer, like no traction on YouTube whatsoever. Yeah. I'm still growing my Twitch channel though. And with my growth and being at 232 followers and people finding me on Twitch and interacting on Twitch, and you know, I have regulars, which is crazy. I didn't think it would happen this soon that I would actually have regulars coming into my chat.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, with me having good traction on Twitch, I was also looking at Facebook and I'm like, okay, like I'm not thinking about the money. I'm just thinking really long term. Mm-hmm. Should I focus? Because I'm thinking about Facebook or Twitch on the long term scale. It's like, okay, the past 3 months I've gotten really good traction on Twitch. If I went and focused solely on Facebook, I'd have to start basically all over. I mean, so like I'm like torn between these two. Like, okay,
if you want,
on Twitch or Facebook?
If you want perspective on this, I would recommend reaching out to Sal. He was on one of the first episodes that we ever did. He's in chat sometimes. His name's Sal VB. He was in a similar situation and he went all in on Facebook. I can't, you know, speak to the entire perspective of what that transition is like, but he can. He had really good results there. I think that when Facebook enters a space, they come to play and they come to win. You know, that's why they bought Instagram, because they saw what was happening. And they see what's happening on Twitch and they're, you know, they want that space. Like, that's a massive, you know, market space. Gaming is huge. So I think that it's worth looking at and reaching out to some people to ask some more questions. I think that you're at a point where starting over on another platform is not really going to be incredibly detrimental to your growth, especially since you're building things outside of what you're already doing. And you have content that's, you know, being put out on Instagram and other places, and Facebook is goddamn the best place to put any content if you want it to go viral. Period.
Right. And those are the things, everything you just said is everything I've been considering, especially with like Facebook ads and Instagram ads. To
Facebook ads are awesome,
people,
dude. They're great. Yeah. I love Facebook ads.
Oh, it's very targeted. When I first found Facebook ads a couple of years ago when I was trying to do a multi-level marketing business,
sure.
I was like, holy shit, look at this.
Yeah, Facebook ads are mega great, dude. We're going to, we have lots of plans for GuardianCon and King's Coast on with Facebook ads, but if you tailor them correctly, the returns that you get are stupid. Like, it's dumb.
Yeah, and being able to do Facebook ads and instead of channeling people to another platform, you know, keeping them on the platform that they're already seeing these ads on, would it creates less friction for them to actually get to your content.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So the last question I have, and it's okay, so you know.
Okay.
Since I've been doing my own podcast, I was wondering if it'd be okay if I clipped the audio portion that I'm included on your podcast.
Fuck yeah, absolutely.
To put it on my
podcast.
That
belongs to you as much as it belongs to me, 100%.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm excited about that. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much, bro, man, because like, you know, all these conversations about like Twitch, and like Twitch isn't doing anything to promote small streamers, and I'm seeing all these other big streamers talk about it and they're like, yeah, they're not doing anything, so it's best if you go to another platform. And I'm like, well, why don't you big streamers do something to help promote these small streamers? And you're doing that with Ask Bro Man, bringing people on, answering questions, you're doing a lot to help the community as a whole, as well as people that are just getting into it.
Thanks, and
man. That's awesome, dude. Like, you're true inspiration for a lot of people on the platform, and you're helping a lot of people out by doing this. So I just want to say to speak for everybody, and I know everybody wants to say it, is thank you.
I appreciate that, man. Like, yeah. I'm glad that you all, you know, went along with this crazy ass idea, and it's important that I, you know, am right when I do shit like this. And the fact that we've been doing this for so long and it's been having positive effects on people's lives is, you know, like I said, this is the best content that I put on the internet, and I appreciate all of you that believe me when I say that and participate in it. It means a lot. So thank you, dude.
Yeah, and I hope you have an awesome day.
Can you tell everyone where they can find you for now?
Yeah, I'm at The Colorado Kid everywhere. So twitch.tv, The Colorado Kid, Mixer, The Colorado Kid. YouTube, I don't have 100 subscribers yet, so I don't have a custom URL. But
gotcha.
If you search The Colorado Kid, hopefully it'll come up. As well as Anchor, Stitcher, iTunes, all the podcast locations, The Colorado Kid on there as well. So I got really lucky being able to have The Colorado Kid. The only place where it's The Colorado Kid 1 is at Twitter, Instagram, I'm The Colorado Kid, Facebook.com, The Colorado Kid. So, yeah, I'm really stoked about that. Colorado spelled with a K. So, yeah, those are all the locations. Pretty much everywhere you can find me is The Colorado Kid. So I'm excited about it.
Thank you, man. Thank you for being on.
Welcome.
I hope everybody goes follow The Colorado Kid everywhere. His journey is just starting, and he's gonna kick a lot of ass. So make sure you go check it out. Thank you so much, man. You have a good one, okay?
Yeah, you too, bro, man. You have a wonderful day.
All right, dude. Fantastic. See ya.
See ya. Later.
All right, let's get BuzzBaz. I don't know if we've talked to BuzzBaz before.
Hey, bro, man.
Hey, what's up, dude?
It's been a while. I believe the last time you and Wayne were on episode 24?
24? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's like a follow-up episode. I like it. What's up, man? What can I do for you?
Well, I'm actually here for the same reason as Colorado Kid. The last few episodes you've been talking about starting over, moving to Facebook and Mixer.
Sure.
And just like Colorado Kid, I've been using Restream to stream on both Twitch and Mixer.
Sure.
And... actually, on Mixer, I haven't seen that much people coming in.
Sure.
The ones that do come in are a lot more social than the lurkers on Twitch sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
They
that's
ask them more questions, but they also hop out a little bit faster.
Yeah.
And I'm actually just feel a bit stuck on what to do right now. Because socializing with people on Twitch... it's hard sometimes, ever since I switched off from Destiny into some other games like Monster Hunter. I see streams with not that many viewers, but a lot of followers. So approaching them for socializing is a bit hard because we're not the same size. Maybe they've gone through different growth with other games.
Sure.
And it's more so the finding friends to stream with, actually.
Okay.
And play games.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you have a couple questions. So let me try and break it down for you. So the idea behind multi-streaming, if you're doing it, should be to find a place where you get traction.
Yeah.
And a place where you feel comfortable, and then going all in on there. It's not a permanent. Right now, it doesn't. I haven't seen anybody execute on that in a viable way, like where I would recommend doing it continuously. So I would, you know, if you've been doing it for a couple of months, you need to find the place where you really feel like you fit in, and go there. Like, multi-streaming is fantastic if you can manage it properly, but if you feel like it's going nowhere, one of the potential changes that you can make, because remember, you have like a fuck ass ton of time to make an infinite amount of changes and try over and over and over again. Like, you're just getting started, so you don't need to beat yourself up if it's not working. You know, you need to find a place where you fit in and then go there. You know, put time in there and be like, all right, well, this didn't work out, and put time in somewhere else. Keep trying. until you, you know, get where you want to go. And when it comes to finding people to stream with, that's networking, which I've talked about it a lot lately. But networking is making friends, period. Yeah. How do I make friends? Online. I don't get it. Okay. Every forum, every Twitter post, every Instagram post, every streamer on Mixer, Facebook, fucking YouTube gaming, Twitch. You are in their channels. You are talking. You are being part of their communities. That's networking, because you don't find people you mesh with by like guessing. Like, I feel like people treat like they'll give so much of their time to making content, and they'll give no time to like finding people to collaborate with. You know, there's it's insane to me, because like it's not like. I feel like people treat it like hiring an employee, like, oh, I don't want to hire the wrong employee, as if like every person they talk to that they don't work with is somehow worthless. Like, you have to make friends. You have to invest time in finding people that jive with you. So like my advice is to literally go into every place that you enjoy, you know, watching people make content. And become a part of that community. Find people who are your friend, and then be like, "Hey, I'm streaming. Like, you want to fucking do a thing together?"
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean that's it. It's really that obvious. The problem is most people just don't want to do it because it's hard, and especially if you're like socially awkward and you're not like that's not like your thing, right? Like. If your thing isn't like you're not an extrovert, like I understand, but everybody like this is like it's a non-negotiable thing. Like I have to read and write contracts, right? Mm-hmm. I have like a learning disability. Like that's fucking hard for me to do. I suck shit at it, and it takes me 10 times longer to get through any contract than it should take a normal human. But I still do it, even though I suck shit at it. I have to do it. You know, so there's parts of everyone's, you know, career that are suboptimal, but you have to do them because it's part of the process.
Yeah, and that's the obvious thing, of course.
Yeah.
I do notice that once I get to know people better, I feel more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's the hardest part, just getting that connection with someone, and just not think about the numbers as well.
Yeah.
That's not the part at the moment. Cool. The second question I actually had about was for Facebook.
Sure.
I've been looking at your page and also with Tim.
Darkness429. Gotcha.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And it's more so with setting up my Facebook page. The one thing I'm a bit concerned about is privacy, because I've heard you talk about in the past how people were
make a Facebook fan page, and that is where you put your content.
Yeah, and that's not a first part. I'm actually
cool.
Yeah, and the first idea I had actually was starting up by just putting clips on there and maybe some thoughts of old streams, and if Mixer is not working, maybe go live streaming on Facebook on my other days that I normally don't stream, just to see how it goes. But it's more so, what I'm worried about is more the privacy part of Facebook. How do you keep that separated from your private socials?
You start a Facebook fan page and you post all your content there. I don't understand the question.
No, it's more so the bit that worries me is more how people how you keep your privacy settings, and how did you set up your Facebook page so that people don't get back to your private stuff on Facebook and your family and friends.
I mean, you make sure to not post private information on your Facebook fan page. And if somebody's malicious enough to see your face, cross-reference it on Google Images, find who you actually are, find your address, and then find your actual account, there's no fucking thing you can do about it.
Okay.
Like, there is no surefire way to completely protect your identity online. What you can do is be as safe as possible. But any expert in cybersecurity will tell you that if somebody wants to take your shit, they will take your shit. So you just have to be, you know, as cautious as you possibly can be, and that's it.
Okay. Yeah, the biggest worry is not so much for me because, yeah, I know where you put my face on the internet. If you put my picture somewhere, you'll probably find multiple of my socials. It's more so about protecting friends and family.
Yeah, of course. You know, and like that is, like, ultimately, like, that's a risk. Like, I've had people harass my family members. I've had, you know, people send malicious shit to my parents. Like it happens. You know, that's part of the privacy that in the unfortunate environment that we have right now, that it, you sacrifice that to do what we do. Okay. If that makes you uncomfortable or you hate it and you can't stand it, then, like, you need to find something else to do. Or you can take social action and start a company that's all about protecting people's identities, and it's a market opportunity for you.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I think that's it for now.
Yeah, and just so you know, and I don't know if you have looked into starting a Facebook fan page, but it is completely separate from all of your other information. Like, there's no way to go from that page to your other page, right? You know that?
Yeah, I noticed that. I started it up and immediately unpublished it just to make sure I have everything set up in the way I wanted to.
Gotcha.
Before making it go live. It was more so that I do know that some friends and family on Facebook don't have their privacy settings totally straight out.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
The nice thing is they do post stuff in a foreign language for most English users.
Gotcha.
So it would be hard.
I mean, it sounds like it's time to have a conversation with them about their privacy settings. Like, I mean, yeah.
I still need to do that, I know.
Yeah. All right.
I'm most of the times the guy they come for with IT questions and tech as well. So
gotcha, dude.
I should probably help them out with that soon.
I think so. Okay, you know, it'll help assuage a lot of your worries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
fantastic.
I think that's the biggest part. And
yeah, I mean, I get wanting to protect your friends and family, and I mean, it's online safety, dude. It's just, you do the best that you can, and then if some shitty things happen, you just deal with it. Just like I was talking about with Colorado Kid.
Yeah, just start doing it, and
yeah,
we'll see what pops up when it happens.
Exactly, dude.
Okay, cool. Thanks for your time, bro, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you, and I hope your family gets their privacy settings set up properly. You want to let everybody know where they can find you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Over at Twitch and Mixer, it's about BuzzBass, spelled BuzzBass. And on Twitter, it's BuzzBass Gaming. Also, on Instagram is BuzzBass, by the way.
Fantastic.
And I hope in the next week my Facebook page will go live as well with BuzzBass Gaming.
Beautiful, man. Thank you so much.
Okay, take a short time.
Dude, you have a good day. Oh, good old Buzz Baz, man. What a nice guy. It's scary, man. I get that the online, like, arena is spooky and scary sometimes. Like, I've obviously received my own sets of bullshitty comments, but, you know, like, that's the world we live in, and you gotta just do the best you can, you know? Nobody should be paralyzed by fear, you know, and I realize, like, the world's awful and sometimes there's terrible things and I get it. But you can't let the assholes win. And when you stop yourself from living a life that you want to live and be happy because someone else is being an asshole, you're giving them more power than they deserve. That's how I think about it. But yeah, I mean, like, this conversation has come up twice. Please make sure you're doing everything you can to protect yourself. Make sure you document anything that's happening online with harassment or anything like that. And keep talking to the police or whoever the fuck it is until they take you seriously. Because it could save your life. This is Nano Pierogi. And we're going to see what the tiny pierogi has to say.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay.
I can hear you.
I have issues with Discord sometimes.
Your microphone actually sounds incredible, so congratulations.
It's it was a gift. It was a little outside my price range, but
that's great.
First of all, I want to say thanks for the podcast. I've been doing some stuff at work where I can listen along, and I'm usually at work when you're recording this, but I am snowed in today. So
fantastic. Oh, so are you all right? Did you get the thunder snow on the East Coast there?
Yeah, we did. I was hoping for a day off. So yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it's awesome. Going well.
So I've been streaming since about October.
Gotcha.
Of this past year, and I've been really enjoying it. And I'm a grad student. I'm studying engineering.
Okay.
I'm not looking to support myself with streaming if I can support my gaming habit with streaming.
Understood. No, that's great.
That'd be great.
Smart.
Yeah, so this is something I'm kind of doing for fun, and it's hard to get traction. It's hard to get started.
Yeah.
And you're not the only one, but I've heard a few voices in this industry whose opinions I respect say a lot of things about Mixer and Facebook, which
certainly.
I don't even have a personal Facebook. I'm not touching Facebook, but
I got you. Gotcha. Good to know.
Yes. So I've been considering, and I only stream a couple days a week at this point, so I could, I'm thinking about like maybe on a couple days off, going over to Mixer and checking out what that's all about. Mm-hmm. And I created an account, and I went and I checked out some streams on there. And the first question that came to my mind, I can 100% see the appeal of Mixer for creators. There's space to grow. There's space for new and up and coming streamers. But I browsed through some of my favorite games. Like I played through Breath of the Wild, so that was the first thing I checked
out.
I am not seeing, I guess I'm wondering if, and I don't know how much personal experience you have with Mixer, but do you see, what kind of incentive do you see for viewers to move over to Mixer?
So that's a good point. So user acquisition is a huge issue for anyone who's trying to make a website. And that is one of the biggest issues that Mixer has is user acquisition. Right now, and we talk about, you know, I talk about the vulnerabilities that Twitch has in the market space often, but Mixer mm-hmm. has its own set of vulnerabilities. It's not like a shining golden knight that's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. So you've identified one of the big problems is that Mixer is incredibly heavy on one or two, you know, whatever the flavor of game is that's popular at the moment. It does really well on Mixer and everything else kind of doesn't. Like, there's not a lot of variety broadcasters on Mixer and things like that. I think that right now, one of the things that Mixer has to do is figure out user acquisition, and they have to figure out how to incentivize people to go over there. So a couple of the things that they have that's unique, they have a base level integrated chat currency called Sparks. So, you know, if you watch someone on Twitch, they'll have like, you know, I have butt bucks and this other guy's got like shiny gold stars and the other dude's got like, you know, carrots or whatever. Yep. Right. On Mixer, everybody, you know, they have a base level integrated chat currency. So no matter what streamer you're watching, you're acquiring Sparks, whether it's in that stream or somewhere else. And they're starting to do a lot of really interesting integrations. One of the big things they just announced was controller sharing, where if you, you know, use a whole bunch of Sparks, you can take over a broadcaster's controller for a little bit, or, you know, spawn enemies or whatever. So they're doing some really interesting stuff on a platform level that Twitch relies on third parties to do. And because mm-hmm. they're doing it as the first party producer, it allows them to make, you know, stronger moves. You know, like let's say Far Cry 6 comes out, Mixer really wants to get involved with Far Cry 6, so they build in a whole bunch of stuff that only happens if you're watching Far Cry 6 on Mixer. Like, these are the sort of market opportunities that are going to be showing up, not just for broadcasters, but for developers as well. And so that's one example of what's unique over there. Ultimately, I don't think Microsoft has started to leverage its weight into growing that platform yet. You know, it's not on, like, for example, like Mixer is only on Xbox, and it's on the dashboard of every Xbox, but it's not like an integrated app in Windows 10 yet. You know, if you were to look at Windows 10 as the installed potential user base for Mixer, That's massive. So they have a lot of opportunity for user acquisition, but for a viewer right now, I think that the big draw on Mixer is that it feels a lot like Twitch did 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's a small, tight-knit community where you really feel like you know the people on the platform. It's kind of like, you know, if you used to play World of Warcraft and you had a, like, before they had server transfers, you knew everybody on your server. And it kind of, like, that's what Twitch felt like. You'd always run into people, oh, you watch so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And, like, now on Twitch, you can go years and years without seeing a friendly face or whatever. So I think that, like, that's, right now, I think that's the biggest draw that Mixer has. Is the sense of community that they have. It also has a much, it's a much younger feeling platform. Like, I went to the Mixer party at PAX South, and everyone there was, like, young and happy and, like, all this other stuff. Not to say that, like, people on Twitch are old and grumpy, but Twitch is definitely, like, age-wise, is an older platform than Mixer on the content creator side, based off who I met. I could be talking out my ass, but that was the perception that I had.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really, really useful. And I appreciate your feedback on that. Another thing that I'm thinking, and this is just because, you know, Microsoft is Microsoft.
Yeah, it's Microsoft. Yeah.
There's a pessimistic side of me that's like, are they going to not let me stream from PlayStation? Like, are they going to eventually? And I don't think, I recognize that to be competitive with Twitch, they have to.
They would have they to do have something to, like that.
They have to be, I think, more open to options. But I'm, you know, I had to set up a Microsoft account. I immediately got an ad for, what do they call Internet Explorer now? But like,
oh, Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Forced Microsoft integration kind of, it kind of off put me for a second.
I understand.
And I was like, and so that's something, you know, and I'm a small enough creator that I could jump over to Mixer. And I mean, as far as like numbers go, not be that far behind, but like I have friends, I have regulars. I'm not leaving Twitch for Mixer is a decision I have to make on my own separately, but like, it's, I don't know. I'm trying to think long term. Trying to think like, is Microsoft gonna pull some shit later on and be like, oh, but no, you have to use this. You have to do this.
Oh, I don't. I mean, like,
I'm a bit of a pessimist, so that might just be me.
I mean, but, like, if they wanted to do that, they would have made it impossible for you to stream to Mixer from anything but like an Xbox, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, that's the first thing. Is they know that in order to be competitive in the gaming space, you have to accept all gamers on every platform everywhere. That's like a non-negotiable fact. And as much as, you know, Microsoft does leverage their advertising into into Mixer, I think that it's really funny how people tend to ignore that on Twitch. Because, like, I can't think of anything, Twitch Prime, that Amazon has on, you know, this platform that passively or continuously advertises them. I mean, when Microsoft bought Twitch and released Twitch Prime, they turned every single broadcaster on this platform into a salesman for Amazon Prime.
Right.
Which is a genius market move. You know, so I think Twitch, it's maybe not as in your face as Mixer is. But I think that we have the big three tech companies fighting over the space, and they're going to use it to advertise their stuff.
Right. And that's something I was like, ugh, Microsoft. But then I was like, wait, Amazon pretty much controls my life at this point. Like, I'm just used to it. So, but yeah, like, you have to buy bits through, I don't know if you have to buy them through Amazon.
You don't have to, but.
Or if I just do.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's easier to do with Amazon Pay, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Click,
click. Yeah. It's way better.
Yeah. Yeah, but overall, I keep hearing good things about Mixer. I'm a little hesitant to jump ship completely because, you know, I went, like I said, I went to check out Breath of the Wild. There were four streams, which means that if I'm if I'm over there streaming Breath of the Wild and I'm doing well, it's a lot more
pressure.
Well, yeah. but there's a lot more space for me, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there's definitely more space.
No one's watching Breath of the Wild on Mixer.
Yeah. So I would definitely say that as a variety, if you're a variety broadcaster or whatever, you can look at Mixer in one of two ways. You can look at it as an incredible opportunity to be the person who is like, you know, their co-Carnage or, you know, Lyric or mm-hmm. Dan's Gaming, because you're the person that does the variety streaming. You're the person everyone wants to tune in and watch. Or you can say, like, that's not an uphill battle that I want to fight. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather just stay on Twitch. And I would say, like, especially in your situation when you're just sort of doing it to feed your habit, which is like fucking genius, by the way. like, you're like, oh, if I can make however much money I spend in, you know, on video games every year streaming on Twitch, that's great. And I'd like just, you know, made my hobby free for myself, which is incredible.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
So that's awesome. I mean, I think that based off your situation and like the goals that you've described, it sounds like sticking around. Sounds like sticking around Twitch is a smart move, you know, since you've already built a community here and your goal isn't like mega long term, you know, blowing up on a platform. Then, you know, my advice to you is like obviously different. I think it's important for you to stick where the people are used to finding you. Mm-hmm. And as you know, and I mean, especially like since you're already started and you don't have like tons of time to invest in things like that, because it's not your goal. It's just a hobby. Twitch is mm-hmm. a fantastic platform for that, because mm-hmm. monetization on your channel is really ready made. Like it's easy if you get affiliate, like that's not a really hard apple to pull off the tree.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so you can get to the point on Twitch where you make $100 to $300 a month streaming with, you know, relatively little, you know, upfront investment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that you've got it figured out. I think that, you know, with your goals.
Okay.
No, I think
that's not what I was expecting here. But
no,
okay.
I don't think if you don't want to make it a career worrying about, you know, growth scale and like exposure and all this other stuff. I don't think that that's important. I think that what's important is sticking with where your community's at. And if you've already built it one place and you don't have a shit ton of time to, you know, reinvest elsewhere, I don't think that it's a smart idea to just say, fuck it, I'll start from zero again. Because that sucks, especially if you're a hobbyist, you know, like.
Right.
I think that it's a different ball game when you're not talking about doing it as a career.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of, and the conclusion I came to was I have streamer friends. We'll host each other when we're done streaming. Like, I don't want to leave those people.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's anything I do, I'm super competitive. So anything I do, I want to do well. I want to like, and this is why it's so hard for me to not look at numbers mm-hmm. is because if I see my numbers go down, I'm like, oh, what did I do wrong? Like, I could be doing this better. But, you know, sometimes it's not that. So it's hard for me to, like, step back and be like, remember why I'm doing this. I'm doing this for fun.
Yeah.
Like, even though I'm not trying to support myself, it's hard to be like, oh, well, I had, you know, 10 viewers last stream and now I have 3. Like,
yeah, it's...
So, yeah. So it's something that I have to remind myself.
I think that being competitive is great. It's going to make sure that you're always doing like, you know, the best content that you can. I'm a huge fan of people that are competitive. But I think that as far as numbers, my advice for that is you have to focus on who's there, not who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Especially when you're smaller, that's really hard to do. But it doesn't get any easier no matter how big your channel is. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
So yeah. learning to accept the reality and this will help you make better content. And I think it's just overall like great advice in life, because if like when I was growing up, if I went to a party, like everyone, like the first thing people would fucking talk about is like, oh, why isn't so and so here? Ooh. Like, and I'm like, we're like, there's 50 fucking people in this room. We're talking about the one person who isn't here. What the fuck is wrong with all of us?
Right.
You know, so like focusing on who is around every day and really making just like deeper connections with those people, the people that are, that show up no matter what, you know, it'll help your channel go so much further. And it'll prevent you from the mental exhaustion of trying to figure out consistently what the hell am I doing wrong? Because the answer most of the time is nothing.
Right. And I'm already doing that with my 9-to-5 job. I'm like, what am I doing wrong here?
No. Gotcha. Yeah. You don't need your hobby to be stressful like that.
Right. Like I had a stream last week that I felt went really well. There were like 4 or 5 people. I was playing Subnautica. We were having fun. Like, chat was fantastic the entire stream. And I'm like, wow, I feel like that went really well. And I turned off my viewer count from my dashboard. So I need to not see that.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked at my analytics and I averaged like 4 viewers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Who cares? That was really fun.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's all about, I don't know. And in that moment, I was like, wow, have I actually started to build a community? And it was a lot of fun. Anyway.
No, it's a great feeling. I think that recognizing the payoff in that is like you took a risk, right? You did something different. Mm-hmm. And then people still showed up. And that's what, like, as a broadcaster, that's what always makes it feel special.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, yeah.
100%. Yeah. You've got it. You got to figure it out.
Okay. Well, thanks.
That sounds good. I mean, the fact that you have a team of people, you don't want to abandon your community, you're doing it as a hobby. Twitch is a fantastic place for that. I wouldn't recommend you changing platforms at all. You know, that recommendation is for people who are like, I want to make it. I want to pay like all my fucking bills, like and like be the next X.
Mm-hmm,
and if that's your mindset, you need to take big risks. And moving platforms a big risk, but that's the only way you win big.
Okay. Yeah.
So now that we've had all this conversation, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you on Twitch?
Okay, I am Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram. I am Nano Pierogi, and I will type in chat. So everyone can see how to spell that. I do variety stuff. I just finished up. I need to take a break from Breath of the Wild. I put like 200 hours into that.
Yeah.
I've been doing variety stuff, and I've been trying to. A couple of my friends and I have been doing like community nights where we'll usually Friday night we play games with viewers. So. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you for your time. I hope I didn't take up too much of it.
No, you didn't. Really, you asked some great questions, and we got to talk about something I don't get to talk about very much, which is sometimes you're in the right place already.
I have OBS up because I'm playing Monster Hunter through my capture card.
Okay.
Because I'm too lazy to set it up other ways, and people are following. Thank you so much.
Oh, yay! All right.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's one of the... Yeah, you're here. You put your stuff out there, and follow Nano Pierogi. She's awesome.
And your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Fucking cool, man. That is a conversation I have been wanting to have happen on this fucking podcast for a while. If you are out there and you are a hobby, you know, hobby focused person, and you're just streaming for funzos, Twitch is a fantastic place for that. There is an incredible amount of potential installed user base and folks who are used to coming here. So that building a small community is really simple. And if your goal isn't to make it full time, my advice is in like always going to be 100% different than somebody who's, you know, talking big shit. They want to make partner. They want to make, you know, like $600,000 a year streaming. Like you got to change the way that it is. There are answers to every question, and every answer is not the same. So I'm really happy that we got to talk about that with Nano Pierogi. It was a good time. And that's it, man. That's going to be it for episode 48. Wow, we're almost to episode 50. Episode 48 of Ask Broman. I appreciate all of you for tuning in, listening, asking questions. We do this every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday on twitch.tv/ProfessorBroman. If you've ever got a question you want me to answer and you can't make it to Ask Broman, you can follow me on Twitter @ProfessorBroman. You can follow me on Instagram @ProfessorBroman. Send me a DM. I answer everybody's DMs, even if it's just like, haha, nice butt. I'll be like, I'm married, whatever. So we got all that going on. Also, again, I wanted to plug this. We're starting to get into full swing for Guardian Con. If you listen to this podcast and you are a partner on Twitch, you are a partner on Mixer, or you are a YouTuber that has 75,000 subscribers or more, and you want to come to GuardianCon, we would love to give you a free pass. So please hit us up at info@raredrop.com. That is info@raredrop.co. Crap, I fucked it up. info@raredrop.co. Good job, bro, man. Send us an email, you know, with your information. We'll verify it. And then, you know, we'd love to send you a free 2-day pass for the event. The focus of the event is on the creators who attend, and we want to celebrate you by, you know, giving you a pass and a great place where you can go meet your community and celebrate all that is good about the gaming community. So there's that. Thank you all so much for listening. And if you're listening on Spotify, thank you so much. You're brand new to the podcast family, and I appreciate you. Make sure you hit the follow button, rate, share it with your friends. If you hate it, awesome. If you love it, that's even, like, that's my most favorite, and you're my best friend. And I'll talk to you all next time. Peace. Hey, everyone. It's Broman. I just wanted to take a quick minute and do a little sponsored plug here for the podcast. As you know, we've been using Discord for all of our podcast needs and for the call-ins for the entirety of this show. Discord reached out and they wanted me to sort of bring some points about their platform to you all. So we're doing that. I love people that enable content creators and gamers alike. Discord has created a fantastic platform. You can check it out at discord.gg. I'm discord.gg/broman if you ever want to chat. But the whole point of Discord is to make it incredibly easy for you to create not only a server, but a community around yourself and your friends, a perfect place to play together. And if you're making content like this podcast, it's a great way to have one source audio where you have complete control over everyone who is talking. So if you haven't checked it out, I would appreciate it if you did. They make this podcast possible, and they're incredible people there. Peace.